Find, if you would, in your scriptures, Mark chapter 5 today. Mark chapter number 5. Mark is located in the New Testament. If you not have a Bible, there should be a hardcover black Bible in front of you. Maybe somebody will know that, see that you don't have one and share with you. It's important that you're able to see a scripture. Webster, in his dictionary, defines the word crisis. Crisis. His definition for the word crisis is an unstable or uncertain time, the outcome of which will have a major impact. An unstable or uncertain time, the outcome of which will have a major impact. Our nation has been bombarded the last couple of weeks with the word crisis. Whether you believe that our nation was in financial crises or not, and there are many people that believe on both sides, you cannot disagree for the fact that the word has been battered around and the media has portrayed, and it's been on our thinking and in our hearts and in our minds and in the forefront of our direction, that everywhere we've looked, we've heard the words crises, financial, bailout, economy, markets, futures, 401k, 403bs, IRAs, mutual funds, stocks, growth stocks, Dave Ramsey, amen. All right, whatever we hear, we really have been bombarded. You know, I'm glad for the, I guess, information highway. I don't know. I need to know if there's anybody else out here like me, or am I just a strange duck? Is there anybody else who does not really get all hyped up on the internet or computers? Is there anybody else out there, or am I just, thank you, all these godly people in the front. Preacher, do you have a computer? I have two of them. Do you have internet? I got high speed here. I got high speed at home. Preacher, do you ever get on the internet? Just to check my email, amen, that's all. You don't surf the net? No. Preacher, do you get on there and just look it on? No, I don't. I don't care if you do, that's fine, that's great. My daughters have learned that you can shop on the internet, so we don't even go to the mall now. If I get on the internet to check out something, I got ToysRUs.com, JCPenney.com, you know, all Gap.com, all these kind of things where I know those girls have been shopping. Some aspects, I think you can get too much information. I want you to be careful how much information you take from the internet and compare that with how much information you receive from God's Word. Okay? We spend hours on the internet because we have to be kept up with world times. You got your theology mixed up. Here's why we don't comprehend what we comprehend. You don't need to get on the internet so you can keep up with world times. You need to get in the Word so you can watch world times keep up with the Bible. See? The media is not setting the stage for us, my friends. We believe in the eternal written Word of God. You'll be amazed if you will spend time reading God's Word, how you will see that society is not driving the Bible. The Bible's in control. Society's just keeping up with what God has said in God's Word. We get so much information today, and it hits us from everywhere. We get in our cars, we got the radio, we get church, we got, or not church, we don't have TV. Some of you do. I catch you watching those little ones while I'm preaching. But now you go to the grocery store, and there's a television right there. You pump gas, and there's a television right there. You got internet everywhere, and information is just bombarding us to where we can never shut it down. I suggest to you, guard how much information you receive. Guard where you receive your information from, and never receive any of the world's information unless you start the day with God's information. Okay? It'll change your focus. I have a desire today. I really do. And the desire is growing in my heart. I have a desire today to preach to you God's, I wrote this down. As your pastor, it's my desire today to preach you the truth of God's Word. I preach you the truth of God's word today, and I want that to build in your life faith. The Bible says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm going to preach you the Bible today, and I want the Bible to build faith. I want faith to lead you to hope. I want hope to lead you to courage. And I want courage to lead you in the right direction. I want to build faith in your life. I want the word of God to build faith. I'll preach the word, build faith. I want faith to create in you hope. I want hope to create in you courage. And I want courage to be able to lead you in the right direction. How many would agree with me by the saying of amen that all authority and all power rest with Jesus Christ? Amen. All power and all authority. There is not anything, anyone, or any God that exists that is more powerful or has more authority than does Jesus Christ. He is the all authoritarian, all powerful, living God. And am I preaching today? I am going to try to take this word crises, and I'm going to try to set it next to Christ. And I want to take the word crises, and I want to set the word crises next to the person of Christ. And at the end of that, I hope and pray that you will begin to see crises as a pebble and Jesus Christ as the rock of Gibraltar. For there's never been a crisis that has existed that can overthrow Jesus Christ. So if that be the case, then there's never a reason for the church to live in fear and in panic. And I want to help us today with Christ and crises. In Mark chapter 5, in the verses 21 to 23, we find a crisis, a human crisis. There's never a heavenly crisis. There's only human crises. Did you know when we get to heaven, there'll be no need for prayer? Why will there be no need for prayer? When we get to heaven, there'll be no prayer for us. There'll just be praise. The reason there's no prayer in heaven is because there's nothing broken down in heaven. There's nothing that's not proper in heaven. And so on earth, we have human crises. But there is no heavenly crises. In verse 21, we're introduced to a man named Jairus. Jairus is a ruler in the synagogue. Very important, very respected man. We find in verse number 23 that Jairus has a crisis. It is a major crisis. Verse 23, it says, and after he's come and besought him greatly, that's Jairus beseeching the Lord, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. How many have ever buried a child? You've buried a child? How many? Oh, Pa, you've buried a child. Burying a child is not easy. Burying a child makes no sense to the human mind. Children bury parents. Parents ought not to have to bury children. However, we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a world where sin has affected the body, and because of that, now we live in a world where parents bury children. If your child has ever been lying at the point of death, you know what crises is all about. If you were to really study this verse with a Greek lexicon or something like that, you would find that his request here for Jesus to come and heal her is not that he would make her better so much, it's that he would save her from the point of death. This child is about to die. There's no hope left. She is on death's doorstep. It's a great crisis. The crisis is magnified. And if it was my Bible, I'd write next to verse number 23, this reference, Luke chapter 8, verse 42, because in Luke chapter 8, verse 42, the Bible says it's his only daughter. It's his only daughter. It may be his only child, but it's for sure his only daughter. And so the man has one daughter, and she is near death. She's at the point of death, and it's a great crisis in this man's life. He knows what it is to experience a crisis moment, something critical, something unstable, uncertain, something to which the outcome will have a major impact in his life. We learn some things from these verses, 21, 22, and 23, about crises that I'd like to tell you. First thing we learn is that crisis will come to all. Nobody is exempt from having a crisis come in our lives. Nobody is exempt from problems. This man is very reverential. This man is very wealthy. This man is very respected. This man is a community leader. This man should not have normal problems. Sometimes we take our human eyes and we look at other men and we say, those men shouldn't have normal problems. My friend, listen to me. Crises come to all people. You are either in a crisis now or of trouble, or you're coming out or going in, but they're not exempt. Number two, crises reveal to us that we're not God. We're not God. Look at verse number 22. Jairus, he is a ruler of the synagogue, which means he is a religious man. He is a man who has some accomplishments, and this crisis is so great that at the end of that verse, he's laying on his face prostrate, for he fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus. When crises come in our lives, they really quick let us know that we're not God, we're not in control, and we're not all powerful. Did you know that the main responsibility for the ruler of the synagogue was to make sure things were done in decency and in order? Here's this man, his little girl is dying, there's a crisis in his life, and he says, forget decency, forget order, forget my position, forget what you think about me, and he fights through the crowd, and this respected man comes and he falls down at the feet of Jesus, which some would say like a fool, but he would say differently, and he wraps his arms around the Lord Jesus Christ, totally forgetting about what everybody thinks about him. You see, one thing that crises do is they reveal our human frailty, our inabilities, and our human weaknesses. Not only do they come to everybody, not only do they reveal things, crises have purposes. Pastor, why do we have a crisis in our life? Why do we have trouble? Well, look at verse number 21. The Bible says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, and look at verse 23, and besought him greatly, saying, my daughter lieth at the point of death. Crises come to all. They reveal that we're not God. They reveal that our inabilities, but their purpose is to bring us to Jesus Christ. Now, church, listen. I believe this about America. America, whether we're in an economic crisis or not in an economic crisis, the storms, the fires, the disease, the tragedy, the economy, all the crime, all the wickedness, all the death, all of the stuff that we are going through where we look at our nation, understand this, it's designed by God so that America will come to Jesus Christ. You think America's not a Christian nation anymore? We were founded on Christian principles, but 9/11 happens, crises come, economies come, things happen, and God allows these things to happen so that America as a nation would come and fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. But here's what our nation, and I love my nation, I'm not anti-American, I love America, and I no problem there. But instead of coming to the Lord Jesus in crisis, America says, no, we don't need Jesus Christ, we just need more resolve. We need to come together. We need to stop bickering. We need to unite. We need to join hands. We don't need Jesus Christ. We need our own resolve. And so that's the position of America. My friend, resolve won't get you anywhere with Jesus Christ. Only humility will. So in our own lives, when crises happen and we're confronted with things, those things come to all of us. Those things come and they reveal our inability. They get us to look within our own selves and say, we're not God. And the purpose of those things that come in our lives are to bring us to Jesus Christ. But sometimes we let that drive us away from the Lord, or we say, I'm not going to go to the Lord. I just need more more resolve to handle that. Jairus said, forget my resolve, I'm going to the Lord Jesus. By the way, not only do they come to all, not only do they reveal all, not only is their purpose to bring us to Christ, crises reveal that there's one that is greater than all. Look at verse number 23. Jairus said and besought him greatly. Jairus said, this problem is vital. This problem is unique. This crisis is above me. I can no longer help my little girl. If you've ever been in a position where you can no longer help life and life disappears from you, you understand that is not a precious position to be in. Jairus has come face to face with the fact that his daughter is going to die and there is no hope. He has all the money, all the respect of the world, all the religion of the world. He has everything a ruler of the synagogue could have, and he can't do one blasted thing for her. When that thought hits him, Jairus says, I know that I'm limited, but I know there's one that's not limited, and his name is Jesus. And God's people said, all right, now, church, listen. When crises happen in our lives or problems come in our lives, they reveal to us that we need God. They reveal to us that we're not God. Their purpose is to bring me to a position where I follow my feet before the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is a God. There is a Lord. There is one that is greater than all of us, and his name is Jesus, and there's never been a crisis that has toppled Jesus Christ, not even the cross. Amen or oh me. All right. Where do you go when crises hits us? Well, when financial crises comes, most of us, we go to credit. Well, when other crises hit us, most of us, we go and do all of this. I want to know something. If you're in the midst of something right now, and it's hit your family, it's hit your thoughts, it's hit you, where are you running to in the time of crises? Human crises are designed to bring us to the Lord Jesus. Pastor, can I trust the Lord Jesus? Well, look at verse 24 and so on. In verses 24 to verses 35, look after the request for Jairus. The Bible says, and Jesus told him to go away and not bother him. Does your Bible say that? No. Even your Spanish Bible doesn't say that. Even your NIV doesn't say that. Even the King James doesn't say that. Bible says, and read it with me when I stop, and Jesus did what, church? Went with him. Here is a man who has come at a crisis moment, and he's wrapped his feet, and he's asked the Lord Jesus, come and heal my daughter. And the Bible says immediately that Jesus went with him. Now, I want you to know, there's anticipation in Jairus' heart. There's eagerness. They are not slowly walking. They are moving toward this house because this little girl is at the point of death. Verse 25, we find another crisis. The Bible says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered. That sounds about like the physicians, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, are you kidding me? Are you serious? The disciples in verse 31 says, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched you? The whole place is touching you. Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She told him about 12 years of hell, 12 years of a blood issue, told him about touching him, told him about the faith she had in him. Look at verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And God's people said, amen. All right, so here's this woman. Here, get the scene now. You got to get the scene. I mean, crisis moment, crisis management here. My girl's dying. Jesus, come. Let's go. And they're walking. Here's this little woman. This little woman who's battled a blood issue for 12 years. This little woman who doesn't even deserve to be in the same room as Jairus by law. Matter of fact, she can't even be coming to the temple. She is a nothing. He is a ruler of the synagogue. She is despised. And Jesus is walking and they're thronging him and they're touching him and they're doing everything they can to just get a hold of him. And all of a sudden, wham, virtue goes out of Jesus Christ. Virtue. Everybody has touched him along the way, and finally he gets over here, and all of a sudden virtue goes out. Jesus stops, turns around, and says, who touched me? What? Who touched you? All these people are thronging you. Somebody touched me by faith. What do you mean? Virtue went out of me. Somebody got healed. Somebody touched me. Somebody knows who I am. And the Bible says in the other accounts that he began to look around. And this little woman is over here, and she's afraid. She's terrified. She's not to be in public. If they catch her and they unwrap her and they see this issue, she'll be stoned. So she comes in the press behind him. And if you study the words on that, what she thought within herself, the whole time she's fighting the crowd, she kept saying, I'm going to be healed. 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 And she touches him, and bam, she is healed. And she thinks she's going to sneak away. And Jesus says, whoa, 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 whoa. Nobody touches me like that and just goes away and begins to look around. And all of a sudden, now she knows she's caught. And she comes in, and she falls down at his feet. And he says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go thy way. You're cleared of your plague. Fantastic situation. Pastor, why would you stop this? Because I think you need to learn something, and you better write this down. In the moment of human crises, you better not forget that we serve a concentrated Christ. In our human crises, do not forget we serve a concentrated Christ. What do you mean, preacher? Everybody is fixed on Jairus because he is the man of position. And they're all going this way. But Christ is God. Christ is all powerful. And here is this woman. She has her own crisis. Nobody knows about her crisis. But for 12 years, she's bled in her body. For 12 years, she's spent her whole existence. She has nothing left. No money. Nothing. And in the press, she hears that Jesus is coming. And she just sneaks up. And I'm telling you this, that even though Christ is focused on going to Jairus' house, he is concentrated on this woman. And I don't care if our nation is moving toward what they consider crises. My friend, Jesus Christ is God, and he will not forget you. You! Well, preacher, he's got to know you because you're the preacher, and he's got to help your family because you're the preacher. My friend, Jesus Christ knows your situation. He knows your payment. He knows your mortgage. He knows your disease. He knows your illness. He knows the very hairs upon your head, which are more than mine, and he knows the very pounds of your body, which, haha, stuck you with that one, didn't I? You make fun of my hair? Let's just go get on a scale. 182. Where was I? I got caught in the flesh now. What are you trying to say, preacher? Okay, so I turn on Fox Business, and I turn on CNN, and I turn on ABC, and I turn on XYZ, and everybody's saying, oh, oh, oh. And then I think in my own home, well, God, I got my own family needs to be saved. My own kids are sick. I got my own bills. What about me? I want you to know he's never forgot about you one moment, church. He's a concentrated Christ. He's the all-powerful God. He's all-knowing. And not only is he concentrated, he is compassionate. He's on his way to help Jairus and compassionate enough to help this worthless, sick woman. That is the great God we serve. Don't lose sight of that. Go down to verse number 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter's dead. The crushing blow. You have human crisis. We have a concentrated Christ. Here comes a crushing blow. Now get this. Get this. Get this. Don't miss this. Now, attention is going like this. I call this channel surfing in the Bible. You ever watch TV with somebody who channel surfs? I promise you, if you watch TV with Kevin Townsend, you'll throw up in 2 minutes. you will think you need to put a seatbelt on to buckle you in. I don't even know how. You don't need to see that. Oh, what was it? Makes me dizzy. Okay, I get this. All these people are touching the Lord. Jerry says, get out of my way. Falls on his feet. Come heal my daughter. All the attention is here. Okay, now we're going, oh, this little woman touches the Lord. Now all the attention is back here. Now over here, here come these people, and all the attention is over here. Jairus, your daughter's dead. Nobody's paying attention to Jairus now. They're all looking at the woman. Your daughter's dead. Matter of fact, why are you bothering the Lord? That's just like the devil. That's just like the devil to hit us in those kind of moments where we think nobody's listening to us. Nobody cares about me. Nobody's seeing my business going under. Nobody's seeing my marriage having. Nobody sees my kids. The old devil just comes. Why are you troubling him anymore? Pick up with verse number 36. I love this. And as soon as, say his name, Jesus heard the word that was spoken. My friend, he is the concentrated Christ. He knows everything about you. He knows the situation you're going through. Now watch this. When Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only do what, church? All right, now let's let the rubber hit the road. I believe you're with me on the story. I don't have to review all that. Everybody's over here watching the woman. She died, Jairus. She's dead. Don't bother the Lord anymore. She's dead. It's over. It's done. It's finished. Even he can't bring back people from the dead. Don't bother him anymore. It's beyond what Jesus Christ can do. Stupid fool. Why would you trust that man over there? Why'd you run all those hours over there? You could have been over here helping your daughter. You could have been over here mourning. You could have been over here with your wife. Why'd you go with Jesus Christ? Don't bother the man anymore. She's dead. That's just what the devil tells us. Don't bother him anymore. That word, be not afraid, in verse 36, if it's in red, that's where Jesus is speaking. That Greek word there means he's telling him to stop being afraid. What does that mean? That means that Jairus already began to be afraid. So from the time Jairus heard these words, before the Lord Jesus acknowledged him, immediately fear began to grow in Jairus' heart. Be not afraid. It means stop right now that action that's already taken place. Here you have the age-old competition between fear and faith. You have a competition of the heart. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. Only believe. The Lord saw utter desolation and despair sweep over Jairus' face. Nobody could rise from the dead. Of course, they forgot about Elijah and Elisha raising the dead. They forgot about Daniel being protected in the lion's den. Oh, that's just Bible stuff, preacher. That's just Bible stuff. That's just religion. That's just God. That stuff isn't going to help me now. That's just Bible stuff. My friend, this Bible is as real now as it ever has been. As now as it ever has been. Jesus read the brief struggle on his face, the struggle that gets on our face sometimes when we face those crises, and the devil says, even Jesus can't help you. Your problem's dead, Tom. Tom, why are you bothering the Lord? Why'd you go to church tonight, Tom? Tom, why'd you put your dumb offering in the offering plate? Tom, why'd you get up early and read and pray? Don't you know that your problem's so far beyond the Lord's help, there's not even anywhere. He said, be not afraid, only believe. Believe what? Believe what? Believe me. Believe me. Believe that I am the Alpha and Omega. Believe that I am the resurrection and the life. Believe that I am the living Lord Jesus. Believe that I am all powerful. I have all authority. Believe that I am able to do miracles. Believe that I am the living Lord. Believe you came at the beginning. You were here. You came and you ran to me and you asked me for help and you had faith back then. Now believe me all the way through. Church, listen to me. When crises come in our lives, I don't care if they're on a national level or on a human level, we started believing in Christ to redeem us. We trusted him for our faith in him. We're trusting him for our eternal salvation. We're trusting him for eternal security. We're trusting him for that. My friend, don't quit on him. Believe the Lord Jesus. Now watch what happens. This is my bread and butter. By the way, Jackie, those were great bread and butter pickles that you canned for me. I love those. Look at verse number 39 and 40. Well, pick up with verse 37. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brothers of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Now, in Bible days, they would hire mourners. So if somebody died in your family, you go out and pay somebody $100, and they'd cry for you. I don't know, it was the way they were measured upon their wealth or something, or their sorrow or grief. He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, this is Jesus now, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but he sleepeth, or she sleepeth. And the Bible says in verse number 40, and they, finish it, church, laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn. We have a human crisis. We've looked at a concentrated Christ. We've seen there's a competition of our heart for faith or for fear. And Jairus yields with faith, and he decides, I'm going to go by faith, and I'm going to trust you, Lord. They're telling me she's dead, but come on. Come on. Come to my house. And so they get to the house. Now, you got to picture this. You just picture chaos. You picture people wailing at the top of their lungs. You picture a mourning like you have never seen. You picture tears and intensity. And Jesus Christ walks into the middle of all of that intensity, and he looks at those people and he says, why are you making all this big deal? She's not dead, she only sleeps. Now to them, that was ridiculous. To them, that was arrogancy. To them, that was just stupidity in its most base form. And now, after those words come out, you have a group of people over here, and that word scorn, they laugh him in a demonical scorn. They laugh him in a hatred scorn. They scorn him. It's interesting, if you'll study that, what did they scorn? They scorned him because of the statement he made. Now, if Jesus Christ makes a statement, it's the word of God. Ultimately, these people over here scorned God's word. Now, let's make our application. Let's be done today. When you face a crisis and you face a problem, my friend, your survival of that crisis in your home and our survival in that crisis in our nation is directly tied to our obedience or disobedience in the word of God. Amen or oh me. Here's what the devil will do. You're a fool. America, you're stupid. We'll stand for faith or fear, and we will base our lives on this book, and the devil is going to use somebody to laugh us to scorn, and they are going to scorn the biblical principle that we believe in. They are going to scorn the Bible truth. You're an idiot, Tom. You're an idiot. It's a financial crisis. Why would you tithe and give? You're an idiot, Tom. Your family's in trouble. Why would you go to church? You're an idiot, Tom. Why would you stand upon God's word? I promise you, the devil will scorn our position on the very word of God, and it will come in an audacious attack, and it will come to try to slit our throat, and it will try to get us to take and remove our stand on the precious word of God. Jesus said, stop being afraid. Believe the word of God. It's the hope in which we stand. It's the hope in which we can trust. I wrote this down. If you're going to survive in 2008 and 2009, we had better learn to live by biblical principle. We already learned we can't trust the stock market. We've already learned we can't trust real estate. My house is worth $100,000 less than what I paid for it. Yours is too. We can't trust those investments. We already learned that we can't trust Congress because they tell us one thing and then vote different when they get up there. We've already learned that we can't trust our neighbor. Our neighbor's stealing out of my truck, out of my dad's truck. We already know we can't do all those things. I'm telling you, as your preacher, I'm telling you as a man of God, I'm telling you as a friend, I'm telling you as a human, you can trust the Bible. And we had better learn to operate by spiritual principle. They scorned him. Look at the verse. What did he tell them to do? Go down there to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'm in Matthew. I'm getting here. Mark chapter 5. Here's what Jesus said. Verse number 40, he put them all out. He put them all out of the room. He took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, that Greek word, I don't know how to pronounce it. It means maid arise or girl get up, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel laid there dead and didn't even move. Is that what your Bible says? No. Straightway the damsel arose and did what, church? Walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. He raised her up a Baptist, is what I wrote on my paper, but that's just a joke. All right, we have a human crisis. We have a concentrated Christ. We have a competition of our heart. There's a challenge of scorn coming. But I wrote the last one, number 5. There's a conquering to be made. Look at that word, they gave her something to eat. Life goes on. Pastor, this crisis is gonna kill me. No, nothing's gonna kill you that Jesus doesn't let kill you. Pastor, this thing's gonna be the end of me. No, it's not. It's gonna be the beginning of you. Pastor, I'm never gonna survive this. Well, that's interesting. If we were to go talk to the disciples in the storm, they thought they were going to drown. Master, don't you care that we perish? My friend, listen. God doesn't bring us into things to destroy and kill us. He brings us into things to grow our faith. He brings us into things so he can be glorified. He brings us into problems so he can meet our need. My challenge to you today is this. This is all truth. It's all truth. And if President McCain, or if it's President Obama, or if it's a financial situation, or if it's a family situation, or if it's any kind of thing that goes on in our life, if you want hope and you want steadfastness, you anchor yourself in the living Word of God. Preacher, I just don't believe that. Well, I do believe it, and I know it to be true. In 2 minutes, let me tell you this too. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You think America goes through hard times, you die without Christ. The invitation and the opportunity for you today to come and repent of your sin and receive Christ as your Savior, and to know for sure that you've been born again. How does that happen, preacher? At the invitation time, if you'll come down this aisle and tell Brother Jay you want to be saved, we'll take you out there and lead you in private to knowing Jesus Christ. How many are saved? Say amen. 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 How many believe this to be God's book? Amen. Amen. You remember that this week. Whatever crisis you're going through, it's designed to bring you to Christ, to not be afraid, to believe, and stand upon this principle. Oh, God, I hope you do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, so much going on today. Not everybody will come back to church tonight, and not everybody can come on Wednesday night. It's my only chance to get everybody together on Sunday morning. God, I wanted to preach to him today hope. Hope is crises will come, but they are not insurmountable. We're not without the concentrated attention of Christ. The challenge of our heart will be, are we going to go by faith or are we going to be afraid? Oh, that wicked hellish challenge will come and scorn us for standing on biblical principle. But the little girl got up. The word of God was true. The little girl walked. And the little girl ate, and the little girl had life. So God, I'm preaching to the people that life is what Jesus Christ came to give, abundant life. They can trust God's word. To trust God's word, we got to know God's word. Help us, God. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if I could ask you a question. You say, preacher, we're here today. And I'm going through a crisis in my own life, or some trouble in my own life, some problems, and I see now where this has been brought to bring me to Christ. Pastor, I felt like I've been going through this all alone. You didn't know about it. God didn't know about it. Nobody cared about it. I've been challenged with faith or with fear. I want to go by faith, and then I get scorned, but I want to be a conqueror. Pastor, I'm going through some things today, and I needed to hear that I can rest and trust upon God's word. Pastor, you don't know my situation, but I would covet your prayer for me. Pastor, pray for me. I'm going through a difficult time this week. If you lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Pastor, pray for me. Pray that I go by faith, Pastor. Sure, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Sure, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder today if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Say, Pastor, my whole life is a mess. There's no order in it at all. If you'll come to Christ, He'll straighten it out. He'll save you from your sin. Pastor, I'm not saved today, but I'd like to be a Christian. Pastor, I'd like to be a Christian. Don't embarrass me. Don't call my name. Don't come get me. But I'll lift my hand and let you pray for me. Pastor, I'd like to be a Christian. I know raising my hand doesn't make me a Christian, but I want you to pray that God would continue to do a work, that one day I'd be a Christian. If you want me to, I'll pray for you if you'll lift your hand. Pastor, I need to be saved. Pray for me. Lift your hand. I'll pray for you. Sure, God bless you right there. Somebody else. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. All right, in just a moment, we're going to have invitation. The invitation song is going to be page number 436, Whiter Than Snow. We're going to open our altar. Here's what that's designed to do. Christian, if you're going through something and you want to come and take your stand upon faith, you come and pray. The one that raised their hand, if you'd like to know Christ as your Savior, if you would have enough courage, you had enough courage to raise your hand, if you'd have enough courage to walk down here, tell Brother Jay you'd like to be saved. We'll take you out privately, take 5 minutes, and show you how you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. I believe that the message was needed. I believe we better understand that our Christ is the conquering Christ over all our crises.